From the hours of 9 to 10 p.m., we will only use the words ass, damn, and hell. We will, however, never use the words or any other sexual or racial slurs. From the 10 p.m. to 11 p.m. hour, we will only use the words ass, damn, hell, and we will, however, never use the words or any other racial or sexual slurs. Now, as it pertains to video, we promise there will be less references. Oh, hey, watch your mouth.
Oh, me.
We will have less references to our enormous genitalia.
The king of rock, who? The king of rock, what? The king of rock, who? The king of rock, what? The king of rock, who? The king of rock, what? The king of rock, who? The king of rock, what? The king of rock, who? The king of rock, what? The king of rock, who? The king of rock, what? The king of rock, who? The king of rock, what? The king of rock, who? The king of rock, what?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, the Click Nation proudly brings to you the best podcast in the whole effing world. It is I, the Adam Black, and I'm joined tonight by my co-host, Mr. Banff.
Evening, bitches, and yes. Yes, Adam Black was yelling in our fucking ear.
Trying to do something new, man. And but thanks for joining. And also joining us tonight is Leroy Jetstream.
Thank you, man. Thanks. Good announcement, Rodney. Good announcement.
Oh, I'm trying, man. This is my first night being the captain. If you haven't noticed, ladies and gentlemen, the mighty, mighty Tim Dog is not on with us tonight, and he's getting some stuff ready for his big move. So I'll be trying to captain the mothership tonight as we do our best to go through basically a week of nothing but news and entertainment, geek stuff, whatever suits you, whatever you like to listen to, the reason why you download this podcast or streaming it right now, we'll try and give that to you tonight. But first off, guys, how has y'all's week been?
I guess it's been great because we didn't say crap.
I was like, oh, God, awesome. I lost him.
ain't shit going on, damn it. But nah, it's been good, man. I can't complain. It's been good. I'm still alive, you know, so that's always a good thing.
Yes.
Yeah, my week's going great. Matter of fact, it would have been alive an extra year, so out of the click, I'll be 36, a couple more hours.
Ah. Happy birthday.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm already celebrating, man. Yep.
I hate to see you. I don't even
want to. All the parts of my show will be sponsored by Jack Daniels, number 7. That's what I'm drinking right now.
Oh, man. After a while, we ain't going to be able to know what he's saying. What is he talking about?
Ladies and gentlemen, Leroy Jetstream.
Well, yeah, man, my week's been pretty decent. I'll see Tim Dog this weekend. I'm going to help him with his move to the big, to Click Manor number 2.
Right.
So,
That's great. Yeah. Tim's getting a house, right?
Yeah, man.
Where's he moving?
It's still in Athens.
Athens, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the same crap, like I'm going to show up. But yeah. Anyway.
I know, right?
Like, where's he moving? Well, you know, you know.
He's in Athens. Oh, good. I won't be there.
But, yeah, man, it's going to be a good weekend this weekend.
That's good. Fantastic. He still need to send us pictures because we ain't seen the motherfucker yet.
I think I got a few on the phone out. I don't know if I had the phone at that time, but I should have some.
When y'all get up there, just take pictures, send them to everybody's phone, and all that good old shit. We'll get them.
Yep. All right, guys. We're going to go ahead and get into it. Tonight's little show, it's going to be round robin, and we're going to go all over the media streams. We're going to talk about movies, talk a little music tonight. It's current music, so I'm sorry.
And we're probably going to rant our ass off at least twice tonight.
Oh, yeah, you're getting some rant out of me, man. All of my rants will be sponsored by Jack Daniels. And Jack Daniels, if you're listening, and if you're going to, you know, if you're going to keyword this Rodney and Tim, I'm sorry. Black Adam and Tim Dog, put Jack Daniels in and tell them I want my money.
I need my money on time.
I don't care, you know, I know it's like, you know, you got to be white to sponsor Jack Daniels. No, just because I'm not Motley Crue, I like Jack Daniels too.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Because we's niggas.
Damn. No, you know, black people don't drink Jack Daniels.
I know, right? What the fuck is up with that?
We don't. I mean, we really don't. I'm just a little on edge about my birthday. So I'm at a life decision point. Dude. So I don't really have no girl or nothing. I can't afford like a hotel, so I figured the most I can do is just drink Jack Daniels and tear up my place.
I'll
be moving anyway.
Motherfucker.
All right. We're going to start off with a little bit of movie news. The Avengers, let me first preface this. This is, today we're taping on May the 29th, 2012. We just learned that Men in Black 3 won the weekend. It was the first weekend, it's the first movie in the U.S. to beat the Avengers. It earned, over the 4 days, $70 million. Avengers, not far behind, but still, it earned $47.1 million. It's already crossed the $500 million mark in the U.S. already.
Wow.
Yeah, crazy. And, yeah, we knew it was already past a billion worldwide. So, MIB 3, you know, it was a major franchise. So, you know, the fans that liked the other two movies were going to go see it. It's a Will Smith movie. So it's guaranteed to get people into the theaters to watch. Plus, it was Memorial Day weekend. You know, people need something to do. Go see a movie.
I'm not a Men in Black fan. You know, I didn't like any of those damn movies. But, you know, I mean, I knew that this, if anyone was going to beat it, it was going to be this one. You know, so, I mean, then hell, I mean, Avengers is... I mean, it's made $500 million. There's not too many more people that's going to go see this damn movie. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It had to slow down eventually. Anyway, besides, they got to get ready for that September release date for the Blu-ray and the DVD. So, you know, time to start winding down. We got other shit we got to damn get it to.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, with me, I love the first Men in Black, the very first one. Two was alright. Three, I've heard three is much better. They really worked on the plot and did a lot on it, but I just really wanted to interest. I just really wasn't interested in seeing Will Smith in that role. So I was just like, eh.
Right.
Yeah. I pretty much felt the same way. A little while ago, it was something I kind of wanted to see, but then the closer it got to it, I was like, well, I really don't really care. If I had to skip a movie, that would be it, pretty much.
Well, yeah, I'm skipping a lot of stuff. I mean, really, the movies it's going to be Dark Knight, Rise, of course. Mm-hmm. I'll probably see that two times.
Mm-hmm.
Prometheus. 2 times.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Big maybe on Spider-Man. I was real hesitant, especially when Sam Raimi was off of it.
Mm-hmm.
Then everybody just dropped.
Yeah.
And then I heard they got this guy that was like 29 years old, yeah, and he's going to be playing teenage Peter Parker. And I'm like, nah, how is this going to...
Well, they changed that once. They liked him so much, they changed the story. So he wasn't going to be in high school anymore, so...
But he's still young, though. I mean, this guy really only... I think this guy is really going to be the Superman of Spider-Man. I think this is his one shot. But from the clips and stuff I saw, and also from your brother, from Tim Dog,
mm-hmm,
he kind of turned around about it a little, because I was strictly repulsed by the idea, because I didn't like Spider-Man 3
right,
at all. Like, Spider-Man 3, no. 2, right, cool. Spider-Man 1, cool. But 3, it was like, no, I don't even want it in a box set. Like, I'd be like, no way, dude, why don't we just cut this off the box? And you just give me $5 so I can go over to $5 bin and get something.
Hilarious. Yeah, I mean, I'm the same way with Spider-Man. I think because I didn't really want to see it until I saw this last trailer when I went to see Avengers. And it was kind of like, okay.
Better.
This might work. So I might go see that. Another movie that has popped on my radar, and it was nowhere near my radar, is Snow White and the Huntsman. I saw the trailer for this sumbitch, and it was like, wow.
There's a lot of action.
It's a lot of action. I'm a little fairy-tailed out, because now I do watch my little show, The Grimms. Like, right, that's the only one I like is Grimm. I tried to get into Once Upon a Time, and it was like, it moved too slow.
Right.
And I'm just upset that for the life of me, they won't do the best comic book graphic novel, Fables. They refuse to do Fables. Well, Fables is awesome.
This is what happened with Fable. Fable got, you know, it was brought to the same station that broadcast Once Upon a Time show, whatever the hell that name of that damn show is,
mm-hmm,
and they decided not to do it.
Oh,
but
man,
they decided to do Once Upon a Time, which is the exact same storyline as Fable. It's the exact same thing.
Well, I mean, it's really what they did was they had a meeting with Fables and all the graphic, you know, the people that read the book.
Right.
Like, you know, that's kind of good, but we're not going to really stick, because it has a big, really, I haven't been to Comic-Con, but I'm just going to assume it has a large fan base.
Yeah.
And you have to kind of stick to the fan base for something like that, and I felt the networks didn't want to do it, because Fables is a very... it's a very adult book.
Yeah, it's the same damn premise, essentially. It really is.
Well, like, yeah, it's the same premise. I mean,
it's the same fucking thing. They stole that shit.
They stole it, and they had to also network it. So they had to make it just, if FX had picked it up, Showtime, HBO,
yeah,
one of them, and they could really run with it and do it. But ABC
stolen. Yeah, ABC stole the hell out of that. They just need to fucking admit it. Y'all stole that shit.
Well, they really admitted it Once Upon a Time, and they stole a lot of plots. Different dimension, can't remember nothing. Don't talk about it. Little designated area. Yeah, okay.
Right.
Y'all were caught on that, huh? What scabs did you get to write there, huh?
Yeah,
you know exactly. You know.
But, and now it's pretty much one of the big hits of the past year, so.
And I still ain't figured out why they ain't got sued yet, but that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, if the creators of Fable want to let it slide, guess what? We will let it slide.
One reason they haven't got sued yet, Mr. Banff, is under the Creative Act.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, you can really steal somebody's work.
Mm-hmm.
Work as long as you make it pretty much your own artwork where it doesn't resemble their work. It can like be their work, but not be their
work. It can have the basic premise, but it has to be so different from what you've done, what the person done that you've talked to.
Yeah.
That'll make it okay.
Basically, you have to take their idea and make it your own and hope
that to make it simple, it's like when you sample an album, which
sounds
that's
a lot
kind
like
of people we're not talking about, but
sounds a lot like plagiarism to me.
Yeah, pretty. That's real close to it, so yeah. But you know, it's the same that most of our, you know, hip hop heads do with sampling, which, you know, Pete Rock was upset with Lupe Fiasco.
For what?
He should. He should be.
What happened was, for everybody who doesn't know, Lupe Fiasco took one of the most treasured beats by
Treasure, Pete. I tell you. Treasured.
I mean, one of his most treasured, iconic beats. This is his iconic beat. This is a beat. You play this at every funeral, graduation, barbecue, just want to reminisce about somebody, Troy.
Right, whenever you think about Pete Rock and CL Smooth, you automatically think about they reminisce of you. So, Lupe Fiasco decides to sample the song. He essentially sampled They Reminisce of You, that loop, and sped it up for his new song.
Oh, okay, I've heard it, yeah.
Yeah, but I think what the real beef is, the reason why Pete Rock is a little upset, and I can see Pete Rock's point, it's not that it's been sampled, because the fact of the matter, everybody and mama before Lupe sampled this beat.
Right.
So the original was on Boondock. The original version of the song was on Boondock. But he's upset about it. You know, Lupe gets on that on his political thing.
On his soapbox. It's the content of the song
and
that.
I think he didn't like that message, because his message, you know, Pete Rock's message on Troy is about missing loved ones and remembering people dead. And then Lupe gets on his soapbox and he wants to do his rant.
Right.
And I think P-Rock was like, nah, this wasn't really meant for people. And really, I just feel like he just didn't like Lupe's rant on it, or even feel what Lupe's on. Because a lot of people don't like Lupe because Lupe don't like, technically, he got an interview. He might have been out, and you know, this is a disclaimer on here. This is me talking trash. I don't know if he asked for like this. I've never met the guy. I like his music. Got 2 hours. But
that third album sucks.
I was just like, one day, and he got an interview and really got, I think he was trying to sound smart. And then he got caught up and couldn't back his way out of whatever he was talking about. Basically, he comes essentially saying, sort of in a weird about way, that Barack Obama or the United States of America, in some countries' eyes, are terrorists. That Barack Obama's like a terrorist and all this stuff, terrorizing the people.
Yeah.
And then
He said it on Fox News, I think that's the big thing. He said it on Fox News, you know, and it was kind of like, okay, dude, really?
Yeah, this is the wrong place to do it.
Yeah, Fox News loves it. Fox News is like, finally, you know, they
finally
adopt him as an Uncle Ruckus, but then when they found out Lupe was like, I don't like you guys either. He's like, oh, well, you know, he was like, you know, Lupe gets on that whole slash sort of anarchist, bohemian, tree hugger, you know, can we all get along, figure it out thing, you know, democracy kind of thing.
Lupe is a
really working that way.
You know what, Lupe's a really, really smart guy, but he's way too fucking confused to say something sometimes, because it's like, dude, it's like he really lets his intelligence trip his ass up, because he's trying to sound overly intelligent and just say things, and it's like, dude, you sound like a fucking idiot. Shut the hell up. You don't have to dazzle us with your, with your articulateness. You know, we get it. You're smart. You know, shut the fuck up. Some things you just should not say. Shut the fuck up.
Well,
don't get me wrong. I like Lupe.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I like Lupe too, but you know, maybe with some stuff, Lupe and some people, actors in general, like me, or ever became like really an actor or whatever, I'll pretty much give disclaimers and stuff, and I mean, I would back my politician, but I really wouldn't try to explain it. You know, I'd really give you a dumb explanation like Cinnamon Toast Crunch, like I just like them. I just like them, like Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Or do it like Raleigh did in the episode of Boondocks about the election. I'm voting for him. Because he's black.
Because he's black.
And that's it.
Yeah, but I don't even feel that way about Obama. I vote for him and do it again. Because he's the only person that seems like he has some sense.
Mm-hmm.
And he does what a president is supposed to do. Like, all of a sudden, you know, black people and some white people believe have gone in this weird assumption that a president is close to being a king. And he's not, you know, that we have a thing in our government called checks and balances.
Right.
So it's a lot that he can't do. And then people get mad. Well, Obama should be able to get that too. No, he can't. He can't do that. No. He's a damn president. Just because Bush came through and the Republicans came through and bogarted everything.
Right. Doesn't make that shit right.
Didn't make it right. They bogarted. Like, people say, well, why don't he say he can't? First of all, he has no backing. Most of the Democratic Party are bitches. So he has no backing. He'll jump out and say something. They'll be like, right, Obama, we're with you. They go to vote on it.
And as soon as shit get hot, they want to run. Oh my God, wait, you know.
Oh yeah, they'll back.
I agree with my esteemed colleague, Jetstream about that one. Democrats are bitches.
Yeah, they some bitches. You know what I'm saying? Democrats are bitches.
Are bitches. You know what I'm saying? Pull your goddamn panties out your ass, bitches. Damn. Man the fuck up. Shit. You know what I'm saying? What the fuck? What the fuck is going to happen? What's the worst fucking thing going to happen to you?
I mean, well, the worst thing already happened. Most of them got kicked out of them, out of their positions.
Exactly. That's the worst fucking thing that's going to happen. And 90% of y'all are... I already have another job where you're making a bunch of money any goddamn way. You know what I'm saying? Attorneys, doctors, shit like that. You know.
Well, you got a lot out of Men in Black Scorn. All right. Well.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Let's go on to
the next topic. we rode that damn horse out of town. Let's...
Well, the other major news release back to movies that came out this past week was Chernobyl Diaries, which only got $8 million.
Who the fuck want to see that shit?
Yeah.
It only got $8 million. Nobody.
that's disappointing. Mm-hmm. Compared to Paranormal 1 and 2, and I think they got a 3. I'm not sure. Don't quote me. And I think they might have a 3 or they'll squeeze a 3 out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when I heard about that, I'm like, you know, this kind of goes along that. And I was like, boo. But anyway, next movie, something noteworthy.
Next movie.
Well, right. That's pretty much all that we had for this weekend. You know, as far as that's the only major things, the major news was MIB. It's already scored $200 million worldwide. I've heard rumors that the movie took $300 million to make, but I'm not real sure on that. The last
deal. Yeah, I definitely believe that because you got to pay Will $25 million.
Yeah.
So.
And he's getting some off the back end.
Yeah. You got to pay Will $25 million, and he wants DVD sales, and he wants some ticket sales.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And he will somehow become an executive producer on your project.
Yeah.
And he wants Willow on the soundtrack.
Oh, God. Well, we'll get to. We have a little bit of news on.
Man, lay off Willow, man. She's cute. She's
cute. Have you seen how late she can cut all the damn house? She's like a little boy. She looks just like a damn brother. Oh my God.
Well, yeah, she do. Yeah, she does look like Will. She got them ears.
Oh
God. But pretty much now coming up this weekend. Larry talked about it already. Snow White and the Huntsman. I agree with Jetstream. I'm kind of fairy tailed out, but. It's gonna get a lot of money because you got Chris Hemsworth in it, plus you got Kristen Stewart from the Twilight movie. So
it's not making that much money,
huh?
It's gonna debut number 3.
You don't think it will get number 1?
Yeah,
I agree with Gilmore. Uh-huh. It's gonna get number 2. You know what though? I feel this weekend. I think Snow White and the Huntsman is going to be a sleeper. So I think it's going to be one of those things where people are going to kind of go in and catch it and then come back out like, oh my God, it was awesome. Because maybe old girl from
Right.
Twilight franchise will act.
And she'll bring over a lot of fans, I think.
No, I'm just saying maybe she'll act. That's all. Oh. I know.
Yeah.
Instead of being a suicidal chick, which now everybody's telling me okay, I didn't read the books.
Right.
But somebody told them to me.
Uh-huh.
And then I watched the first two movies, and I'm like, I'm never reading the books.
Right.
But,
just, dude, I mean, come on now. There's nothing wrong. Look, I fucking hate Twilight movies, but I've seen all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Because
I have a little bit of OCD in my head. I'm a completist. I have to see them all now.
I ain't gotta complete that shit.
I'm gonna have to do it because I saw this last one and I was giggling my ass. I was like, this shit is fucking horrible.
I'm like, first of all, fuck it. The book's been out forever, so everybody knows. Bella is gonna have a baby.
She had a baby in the last one.
Become a vampire and trying to have this baby, and then there's gonna be a vampire and shapeshifter war because the wolves, as you find out, are not really wolves, they're just shapeshifters.
Right.
But because they happen to be brown people, they're too dumb to know they can shift into other shit.
Stop it.
Leave it a jet stream to play the racial card. I love it.
I didn't do that. One of the characters in the book, which is my favorite character, is my boy that got with him. I can't think of his name, but he's the one that was like the new vegetarian vampire with them.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And he was the only one that keeps it real. And in the book and in the last movie, I hear he really keeps it real. Like, you know, everybody's running around scared and he's like, no, he's like, this is what vampires do. We kill, you know, we kill and fuck up shit. So I love his character. And I probably love the last one because, you know, I like my vampires to fuck up shit. I don't know about you, but I do not like sparkling vampires
and I agree with that.
Wondering about fighting people. No, man.
Crying and shit. No.
Vampires.
Right. I agree with you. I don't want my vampire out there sparkling and crying and shit all depressed and tragic because, oh my God, I'm immortal and I'm so beautiful.
Exactly. I like for my vampires to go bump in the night and to live off of crackheads and strippers and party goers. That's how I like my vampires.
I want my vampires like Lestat, just run around this bitch. Just like, motherfucker, I'm pretty. And I'm gonna kill all these bitches in this room and fuck them too. That's what I like.
Exactly. Like Lestat, he was classy. He's gonna bring in on a nice dinner party, you know, nice little Antoinette motif.
Right.
Fix all this stuff. You know, Lestat gonna have the baddest bitches. He's gonna be like, he's gonna eat them all too. And I don't mean like, women like to be eaten. I mean, no,
he's gonna eat their ass. He's gonna eat them, literally. He's gonna eat them. Literally.
I just like my vampires being predators, man. That's pretty much it.
I think we pretty much all like, you know, we all got turned off by the Twilight movies. Well, for at least the first two. Also, wide release this week. For Greater Glory, which is a historical.
Huh?
It's a historical. A biopic, or is basically a retelling of a war in Mexico. It has Andy Garcia and Ava Longoria in it. Looks like it's pretty good. Also, and I did want to bring this up. Also, wide release this week per the Flixster app is Battlefield America.
What the hell is that?
Well, I'll tell you. It stars, it's a upcoming America dance drama film.
Shut the hell up. Stop. Say no more.
And it stars Marcus Houston.
Wait, no. Stop. If you say it's directed by Chris Stokes, I'm going to scream.
Wait, what is the movie called again?
It's by Chris Stokes from You Got Served.
Oh damn! Wait! What is this movie again?
Go ahead. Battlefield America.
Battlefield America.
Right.
Star Marcus Houston.
Marcus Houston.
Keita Burns.
Who?
I don't know who that is.
You'll see in King Magazine, dog. Don't worry about it.
Anyway, the only major star that they listed on the Flixer besides Marcus Houston was Micaiah Cox.
Who?
I don't know.
You'll see it in King Magazine, dog. Don't worry.
Thank you.
But yeah, and I went to Wikipedia to get the premise, and it says that the synopsis is a young businessman hires an instructor to turn a group of misfit kids into a team on the underground dance company.
Oh, hell no. Oh, shit. Wait.
So fucking little boys again. Oh.
Wait, hold up, Mr. Bam for Mr. Blake. Jetstream would like to get for $1,000, Alex. Under creative writing and nothing new under the sun from Hollywood for $1,000. Why they should just call that shit like what?
This is just call that you got Sir 3
again.
Again, nigga.
Another helping.
Yep.
Hell no. No.
Hey,
I don't even remember. Yeah, all right. But one thing.
Chris Stokes, Curry Love.
Good God.
Chris Stokes.
All right.
Let's move on.
Yeah, what we didn't get to last week and what we had been basically talking about since the summer movie season started was the fact that Battleship was going to sink at the box office, and it did.
Yay!
So I just wanted to make that note that we were kind of, it didn't take much to see that that movie was not going to really succeed. Now, from people that I've heard that have actually seen the movie have said it's not a terrible movie, but if you're thinking you're going to see something like Transformers, something like The Avengers, or anything like that, don't go see that movie. It's a different type of movie, but it's definitely a summer blockbuster type movie. It's just a bunch of action, a bunch of shooting, aliens, yeah. Special effects, that's it, people.
Yeah, I heard the same thing, too. A lot of people say, oh, well, it's not like, and I was like, okay. I'm like,
still,
I don't think it was really that bad. I mean, I haven't seen the movie. I think the only problem that the movie had was for some odd reason they wanted to call it Battleship.
and that
had nothing to do with Battleship. Like,
right.
If they had called it anything, like, I don't know, they could have called it Aliens from Planet M. They could have called it Another Invasion, Aquavasion. I don't know. But I think that, people was expecting, I don't know what they was expecting, namely Battleship, but they was expecting more, I guess. Then when they saw the Transformer-like, animation, it was like, eh. But, because Transformers 3 left a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths.
Transformers 2 left a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths.
Well, me and Gilmore caught Transformers 2, and Transformers 2... I could tolerate it to that last 45 minutes, because somehow I don't understand how Michael Bay figured out to stretch a desert trek out to an hour. They were 2 miles away from saving Optimus Prime. They stretched that out about an hour.
Right.
I don't know how, because other parts of the movie, they just zoomed along,
Right.
But, I have weird feelings about Michael Bay. He's the most highest paid power technician in
the world.
That is true.
Michael Bay is like he loses a plot and it's no problem. So I have to admire that. It's no problem. Just blow some shit up.
Blow some shit up. That's what we do.
All right. But it's just one of those things to see that we were right. That was the main thing. I was like, look, we were right on that crap.
Well, no, I don't care about that one. I don't care about being right. I mean, you can kind of see like they had Rihanna in it, and I love me some Rihanna in dating her kind of way, because she's like kinky and
there you go with that.
And stuff like that.
I knew that was true. I knew it.
Besides that, I kind of fall out with it, because I do agree with Mr. Bounce. Chick really can't sing. I mean, she can sing her style,
and it's hers.
Yeah, it's hers. Now, she is a very unique artist and entertainer.
Unique she's meaning she has no talent.
And I feel she would give you a show. Now, a songstress, I'm not sure. But I do feel that she is an awesome entertainer. I don't know if she's a I don't know if she's a balladeer or a songstress or anything like that. If I can even put her in that, but entertainer, Rihanna will entertain. Yeah, she will entertain the shit out of you. So yeah,
I'm waiting on a Rihanna porn at some point in time. But just see her come.
Well, you know, technically, in a weird way, there's a chick in porn.
Why do you know that?
All right,
I'm almost 40 and I can look at internet porn.
Okay, keep it to yourself, brother. Go on, Mr. Black.
All right. that's pretty much, you know, as far as the weekend movie box office, you know, that's pretty much the main thing. One thing that was brought up for a movie that was supposed to come out on June 29th was the movie was G.I. Joe Retaliation. You should have seen it. It stars Dwayne Johnson as Roadblock, and Bruce Willis comes on board as Joe Colton. And you know, it was a movie that I said on this show I was actually looking forward to watching.
Yes.
But guess what? Wednesday, last Wednesday, Paramount announced that 5 weeks away from the movie's release that they were going to push the movie back to March 2013 in order to prepare it for a 3D conversion, which I thought at the time, well, typical Hollywood greed. I didn't think much of it. But then the next day, there was stuff coming out about reshoots and and adding people in. And then I talked to Mr. Banff on the way. I was dropping him off at his house, and he said, basically, he heard something from Ain't It Cool News, and I'll let you handle it from there, sir.
Well, the real reason they pulled this damn movie, ladies and gentlemen. Okay. Like I said, we all heard Wednesday. I was talking to Mr. Adam Black, you know, about this movie, you know, and like I said, a friend of mine sent me a link on Facebook about from Ain't It Cool News about this particular film, you know, and pretty much confirming the suspicion that I had, you know, about this film. It has been, it has been, you know, tipped off, dropped off, whatever, that test audiences have seen this film and they hate it. And also they wanted more Channing Tatum in the movie. And I don't know why this movie is that fucking bad, but I guess it is. Is this that fucking bad? They decided to pull it, re-edit it, and like I said, the 3D shit is a afterthought. They bullshitting me. They bullshitting us all on that. They really are. You know what I'm saying? And then like I told Mr. Black, I said, you know, what they're gonna say is that these reshoots are, they're just doing these reshoots to enhance enhancing the 3D of the movie, the 3D process of the movie. Case in point, today, from comicbookmovie.com, I read a tweet from The Rock himself, Dwayne Johnson, saying that a person asked him, you know, saying that I was really looking forward to the movie, hope the 3D is worth it. You know, he said, The Rock said, it will be, the reshoots are to enhance the 3D. Exact quote. I was like, aha! So, you bitches, I was right again.
Yes.
So, you know, but my thing is, I mean, okay. Number one, we were not looking for this movie to be a Oscar-worthy, you know, movie with like an awesome script or awesome acting or none of that. That's not the movie we will, you know, that was not going to happen with this movie. We understand that. I just don't, like I said, what pisses me off is the fact that, you know, even if they did decide to pull the movie for this 3D thing, why did you wait 5 weeks before the movie to come out to make this decision? why didn't you make this decision back when last year when I read a article from the, you know, I read an interview with the director of the movie who said 3D was an option at the time, but due to, you know, its expense and, you know, and the longer shooting schedule, we decided not to do it. Decided not to do it. Now you all of a sudden you want to do it? I mean, if the movie is that fucking bad, you should, like I said, you could have moved this movie. And I understand that this movie was coming out a week before Spider-Man and it was going to get crushed. We know that.
Yeah.
You should have moved this movie to August. You skip over all of July, put it out in August. You put the first movie out in August, it did decent. This movie would have done decent. You know, by itself in August, it would have done decent. Only on thing is in August is Expendables 2. You know, but that's neither here nor there.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one, Gilmore. That it would have did good. That's really just a bonehead move on their part. I think they should have just rolled the dice or pulled the trigger, put it out now. And I text you about the reason, my main reason why they should have just did it now and just come out with a 3D later and Blu-ray and try to make the money back on Blu-ray and hope that enough people go to see this movie where they can make a G.I. Joe. I don't know what they would make, but they could have gotten a 3 out of this one. Now, they're going to get straight beat next year. Because next year is all Marvel. Marvel is running next year.
Well, this is the smart thing that they're doing. If they're going to put it out next year, they're putting it out in March of next year. And Rock is going to be at WrestleMania next year. So there we go. We got all that tying in. You know. So that's kind of smart. I still personally think it's still going to suffer, you know, a lot for pushing this movie back almost a full year. It's going to suffer.
Another thing on that, Mr. Banff, too, is that, I was really looking forward to seeing this one. I wasn't that big on the first G.I. Joe movie, although I did like, I like the plot on the whole. Like, generally, I love the plot, how, you know, if you haven't seen G.I. Joe, this is spoiler alert. I love how Zartan became the president. That was awesome. Right. A lot of other things about the movie, yeah, I hate it, but they had copyright issues. It was the first time putting G.I. Joe out. They had some constraints. It was a lot of problems, a lot of issues. So, I let them ride on that one. This one I thought was great. First of all, I thought it was great that they killed Duke. I didn't like old boys Duke. Nothing That's against him. He looked like Duke. He acted like Duke. But I never really liked Duke as a kid. I always liked Clint. So it was like, oh, wow. I mean, they really put the Joes in a predicament, which is a lot like the, G.I. Joe's Renegade, the cartoon.
Yeah.
It seems like they're borrowing a lot of that, where they're only a few Joes going against Cobra.
And they're on the run.
Yeah, they're on the run, and Cobra's basically established themselves as,
as a power.
Yeah, as a power. On this one, Cobra is now going to be the elite special forces Secret Service team for the United States.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I seen it in the first trailers. Now I don't know what it's going to be.
Yeah, who knows what it's going to turn into.
Nobody knows what it's going to be now, because they went and saw Avengers and was like, we don't have none of this Avengers stuff. And it's like, you know, back then, Hollywood not creating, that's one of my main beefs. Maybe Mr. Banff will agree with me. I know Adam Black will probably agree, but now with Hollywood, it's like nobody wants to be different. Nobody wants to be Steven Spielberg. Nobody wants to be Stanley Kubrick. You know, nobody wants to be James Cameron. Nobody wants to be Roger Nolan. Corman. Nobody wants to be different. I want to be just like him.
Right. Nobody wants to be different. You're right. Nobody wants to be, because a lot of people, especially like, take for instance, J.J. Abrams. J.J. Abrams want to be Steven Spielberg so bad it's killing him. You know, that's the problem with a lot of these young cats who are directing now and these people who are in executive positions. They're trying to redo everything that Steven Spielberg, George Lucas, James Cameron, you know, all these people, Stanley Kubrick, all these people have done in the past. It's like, cause Hollywood has just become so stagnant on, like shit that we're just doing over and over again. I mean, come on, man. I mean, how many times, you know, and the same could be said for comic book movies. How many fucking comic book movies can you put out? And essentially the shit is the characters are interchangeable. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, eventually something's got to give. I mean, you know, like I said,
I guess why we have this dead space.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree completely, Ms. Banff. They're just not really trying to be themselves. Like, one of my favorite artists, Kubrick, he didn't care, you know. It's really hard to try to be like him because he was a really, I mean, his stuff is awesome to me. It's cool.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to borrow a couple of things from him, not be him, if I was able to direct him.
I think we got him back.
Yes.
Yeah,
man. Sorry about that.
It's all right.
Okay, sorry, Ms. Bam.
Hey, no problem, man. My phone was like, no, nigga, no more for you.
But, did you have any...
As you were saying, Ms. Bam.
What? Shit, I lost my train of thought. But yeah, like I was gonna, you know, I was gonna say, like I said, it's only a very few original, you know, like storytellers left in Hollywood. It was very, very few. The only one of this young generation, I will say, is Christopher Nolan. Because Christopher Nolan, I mean, if you've seen any of his movies other than the Batman movies, you know,
you'll know that he has a mind of his own, ideas of his own.
Yeah, you know, I know. And if you ever want to see one besides Batman, to know that he is probably one of the most awesome directors you will see, is Memento.
I was just gonna say that Memento is the movie that if you don't look at Inception, don't look at Insomnia, look at Memento. You have to pay attention to this movie and the idea of what this guy, man, is going through in the story is so out there. You know what I'm saying? That this is the movie. Listeners, please, by all means, if you have never seen Memento, you should stop what you're doing. Rent it on Netflix, go buy it, whatever you got to do. But you should see this movie.
I mean, it's very affordable. You can get on Netflix. It's on Hulu Plus. But I recommend going to Netflix get it, because Netflix is right now. It's better than Hulu Plus right now. Or you can just go to like MovieStop. It's like it's probably $5.
Yeah, it's probably $5.
$5 on DVD, maybe $7 on Blu-ray.
$7 to $10.
Don't let the price fool you. It's just it's kind of an old movie, but it's a really good movie because he's one of the only people besides Quentin Tarantino, who can really do a lapse in time or do a movie that's non-linear.
Right.
You know, and for all the people who, you know, didn't go to college for like 4 years like me but dropped out, non-linear means this shit's coming in successions of each other. So, what non-linear means is out of order.
Right.
So, and Quentin Tarantino is very famous for Pulp Fiction.
Right.
And what he does in all of his movies, Pulp Fiction is his best adaptation of it, in my opinion, of doing that. But Chris Nolan does it better in Memento.
Well, speaking of Christopher Nolan, they are re-releasing most of his movies on Blu-ray in a box set. They're putting together the two Batman movies that have been released so far. I think Memento. I think the only one that isn't in there is Prestige, and I think that's because it's a Disney movie.
It's a Disney movie. Prestige not in there. Inception is in there, and Insomnia is in there.
Mm-hmm.
And Insomnia is a weird. A lot of people think Insomnia is boring. Insomnia is not boring. It's just. He directed it in a way that by the end of the movie, you're fatigued and tired like the main character in the movie, because the movie's set in Alaska during the time where it's 24 hours of day and your body does not get used to that. So you end up with insomnia. It's a very, very deep movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he also has another one. It's kind of a lesser known movie called Following that he did. And you can catch that on Netflix. And Following is it's real good and it's pretty much self explanatory. It's about this guy who is basically he's a people watcher and he likes to kind of follow what people do. But you know, with Chris Nolan it's never that simple. So
nothing ever.
Chris Nolan, he follows his own path, and I thought J.J. Abrams was doing a good job because he blew me away with Cloverfield and did he do Cloverfield?
He did
Star Trek. Star Trek was the one that blew me away with him. Star Trek, I was like, okay.
I'm not saying that he's not. He's a very good director, very good storyteller. He wants to be Steven Spielberg. Period, point blank. That's what he does. He's even said that himself. You know, he wants to be still, you know.
And you know what's funny about that? Is right. Steven Spielberg going to be him.
Right. You know. And you know, not there's anything wrong with emulating your heroes. Mm-hmm. I just want people to come out with some original shit every now and again. Because, you know, don't get me wrong, I love Super 8, but Super 8 is not an original story. That's E.T.
Yeah,
I did like Super 8. That was a good movie.
Right. E.T. is coming to Blu-ray this fall, ladies and gentlemen. Buy it.
That Christopher Nolan Director's Collection set on Blu-ray will be released on June 26th. So, mm-hmm. close to being it Dark Knight. Rises time.
Right.
I did want to ask: has anyone seen the pictures of, what is y'all's opinion of the Django Unchained?
I'm kind of odd about that movie. You know what I'm saying?
What movie is that again?
It's a Quentin Tarantino movie. Called the Django Unchained.
Give me one second.
You have to spell it D J A N G O Unchained.
Yeah.
Oh, here it is. It jumped right up. It even has a trailer.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I'm
kind of about that movie.
Okay, I can kind of help you out with this one. I'm a little okay. First of all, disclaimer here. I'm a big Quentin Tarantino fan. I like Kill Bills. Some people Kill Bill is either you love it or you hate it. It's kind of like Pulp Fiction. When I first saw Pulp Fiction, I saw it on the lawn at Fort Valley, and it was with mixed reviews. Half of the people were like, "The movie's not in order. I don't like it. What's going on? What's happening? I don't get it." Other people was like, "Oh, okay, I get it." You know.
Yeah.
So,
don't you hate watching a movie with a dumbass person?
Lane's hurt more. Fuck it. Oh, I hate movies with people that talk, and I hate watching movies with black people who talk to the screen like something's gonna happen. Just let y'all know, Leroy Jetstream is black.
But basically, you were gonna explain it.
Yeah, okay, I saw another Western done by Quentin. I don't know if Quentin did it, he acted in it. I don't want to get it screwed up, I can't think of the name of it. But it was basically a Japanese kind of...
Oh, okay, I know which movie you're talking about, I can't remember who's in it.
Yeah,
but
Quentin acted in it, so I don't really want to put Quentin's name on it because he acted in it, and it's not directed in Quentin Tarantino style to me. It's over the top.
He didn't direct it.
Okay, thank you. So yeah, right. It's over the top, and he's in it, but you know, Quentin can't make a movie where it goes in a linear form. He doesn't like to do that half the time. I can't think of Gilmore. You up for movies? Has Quentin ever made a movie that just went in order?
Not that I can remember, because I've never seen Inglourious Basterds yet, so I can't say that.
Yeah, it doesn't go in order.
It's not in order.
Yeah. So, but not that I can, no, no, cause he's only done Pulp Fiction. No, I'm sorry. Reservoir Dogs, Pulp Fiction, Jackie Brown.
Which is one of my favorites.
What the hell was between Jackie Brown and Kill Bill?
Nothing.
Oh, was there anything? Okay, so, yeah, then the Kill Bill movies, Inglourious Basterds, and then now the, you know, Django Unchained.
Yep.
Wait, we forgot about when him and Rodriguez teamed up and did the Grindhouse.
Oh, Grindhouse, yeah, I forgot about that, yeah.
Which I did love Quentin Tarantino. I love both of them. I love Quentin Tarantino's, the one with Kirk Douglas, Death Proof. I like Death Proof a little bit more than the Planet Terror one.
Right.
Well, for the people that don't know about the Django Unchained, it's set in the Deep South, and it follows a slave called the Django, played by Jamie Foxx, who treks across America with Dr. King Schultz, which is played by Christoph Waltz from Inglourious Basterds. He was also in Green Hornet. He's a German dentist turned bounty hunter, and they are trying to retrieve the Django's wife, Broomhilda, played by Kerry Washington, from the charming but sadistic Francophile plantation owner, Calvin Candy, played by Leonardo DiCaprio, and his band of ruthless slavers.
Okay, you know what? I'm just going to go on ahead and admit it. I'm going to go see it. I like this movie already. This is going to be a hilarious movie.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things, if you're a fan of Quentin Tarantino, you're probably going to at least see it.
Right.
I'm a big fan of his. Also, off topic, Leonardo DiCaprio is doing, what, The Great Gatsby?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And it looks good.
Yeah.
And for some weird reason, the people that did Great Gatsby, they had enough sense to decide to do it in 3D. Wow.
Worse
like some other people, huh? Wow.
So Baz Luhrmann did a movie in 3D. Really? Oh, wow.
Yep. They 3D converted it. It's a conversion, and it's Great Gatsby. Again. If you didn't see the one with Robert Redford, well, you can catch this one.
Right. If you've never read The Great Gatsby, ladies and gentlemen, this is probably the maybe 10th adaptation, film wise.
It's a lot
of them. And
yeah, the most famous one until Leonardo DiCaprio's is the one with Robert Redford.
Right.
Great Gatsby. That's one of the most famous ones. But they have done it to. Death and but Robert Gatsby, that song Gatsby means the not song excuse me. The stories is one of those stories, and it's like a modern day Monte Cristo.
Yeah,
and so has that kind of theme. It's gonna be a good movie, but I'm just tripping that they knew to put it in 3D. And G.I. Joe is like, oh, we didn't want to do 3D.
But the one thing about the Django Unchained, you know who Quentin Tarantino desperately wanted to be in this movie, and he turned it down.
Who was that?
Will Smith.
I don't blame him. I would have to.
I don't blame him because Will can't do the Quentin movies.
I wouldn't do that movie. I wouldn't do that fucking movie.
Yeah, because Quentin movies. First of all, Quentin Tarantino movies. And we've all watched a bunch of them. And any of the fans out there, I help you out with a Quentin Tarantino movie to watch them. They are dialogue driven. Pay attention to what the characters are saying. It's not there to move. It's not there just as filler. You have to listen to what they're saying. Especially what if you can agree with Mr. Bamfum. Jackie Brown is a lot of dialogue. Really, everything.
Yeah.
All his movies have a lot of talking. I mean, and, you know, a lot of it will seem like it's just, you know, it's just them talk. Like you said, filler. It's just filler. They're just talking about burgers. But, it could mean something later. So
yeah,
you kind of have
something
to pay
later.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that's the thing with Quint movies are heavy dialogue. So if somebody gets bumped off and they didn't say nothing, you missed the dialogue like 20 minutes earlier in the picture. Like, you know, Jackie Brown, if you ever catch that one, that's kind of the easiest one. One of the characters, Beaumont, played by Chris Tucker, gets killed. But if you watch the movie, pay attention to what Samuel Jackson's character is saying about 15 minutes ahead of time before he goes to see the Beaumont character played by Chris Tucker. And you're really going to know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people don't know that the first time watching. So I don't think it would have been a good fit for Will Smith. So
yeah.
I think that's good for both Quentin Tarantino and Will.
Yep. I think that was, I just don't see him playing that type of role, but I don't think.
No, he did Wild Wild West, so he can do anything. So, play a slave, I don't see no problem. I don't know if Will can kind of carry that Quentin Tarantino dialogue, if he wants to.
Yep.
I don't think it's the dialogue, it's the content of the film. I mean, I, as a black man, would never do a Quentin Tarantino movie, because he, for some odd reason, is way too liberal with the use of the word nigga for a white man. You know what I'm saying? He's way too fucking liberal with that damn word.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You know, cause he may say that shit to me and I might snap and slap shit out of him. I just might, you know. I mean, I just, like I said, Quentin Tarantino movies, I myself personally, if I was at the, it's just movies I wouldn't want to do anyway. You know, it's just something that just, you know, appeal to me, to me creatively at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just wouldn't want to do any of his movies, you know. I mean, cause I myself personally, I mean, I like Quentin Tarantino. I don't want to rush out to see his movies cause to me, he hasn't done a great movie since Pulp Fiction. You know, Jackie Brown's not even that is good, but it's not that good.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But, you know, to each their own. What's the next film you got there, Mr. Black?
As far as movies, I mean, that's pretty much, I was going to talk about new stuff that just came out on DVD and Blu-ray.
Yay.
New this week as of 5/29 is Gone, which I didn't go see.
The NSYNC song?
No, not that.
No.
Let's see. It starred, I believe this one starred Amanda Siegfried.
I saw it at Redbox.
Was it about again?
Hold on 1 second. It's a thriller film. Came out this year. Let's see. Dang, this is a whole synopsis. Let me see if I can find a better one. But it's basically some thriller movie with Amanda Siegfried.
Who cares?
Well, to help everybody out, it said Redbox for $1.25.
go get
it. Yeah, you can go check it out. It won't kill you. $1.25 won't kill you.
All right, I got a better synopsis without giving a whole bunch of spoilers. Jill Parrish, played by Amanda Seyfried, comes home from a night shift to discover her sister Molly has been abducted. Jill, who had escaped...
I remember seeing the trailer for this movie now. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Jill, who had escaped from a kidnapper a year before, is convinced that the same serial killer has come back for her sister. Afraid that Molly will be dead by sundown, Jill embarks on a heart-pounding chase to find the killer, expose his secrets, and save her sister.
Boring.
Okay, well, 11% on Rotten Tomatoes, so that tells you.
Yeah. I don't want boring.
This sounds like some shit that should be on like CBS on CBS.
That sounds like Lifetime, dude.
They've
not
seen
it.
Don't ever want to see that.
Well, I've had to. Well, you know, when your missus is watching Lifetime movies, and you know, you want to be every now and then, you have to sit through some of them. Yeah, they're not good.
Better get some Jack Daniels.
All right. Yeah, that is true. It would help. The next movie, it came out earlier this year, Man on a Ledge.
Okay, I know about this one. I caught this one. Man on Legend is pretty. It's decent. It's pretty good. So everybody out there who's going to Redbox is at Redbox. Go on ahead and pick it up. No, $21K.
Right.
So it's worth it. I would have went. To be honest, I would have saw it at the movies because it has one of those It has that kind of, I'm in a heist movie, so it kind of has that whole heist feel.
Mm-hmm.
And it has some misdirection, not to give the movie away, but it's a cool movie.
Yep. Mm-hmm. It's about an ex-cop and now wanted fugitive played by Worthington stands on the ledge of a high-rise building while a hard-living New York Police Department negotiator played by Elizabeth Banks tries to talk him down. The longer they are on the ledge, the more she realizes that he might have an ulterior motive.
Oh, sounds interesting.
I liked it. It was good. I did catch that one. It was good.
And let's see. Don't even want to talk about. We need to talk about Kevin. Uh-uh. Even though it's got a high user, and it's a suspenseful and gripping psychological thriller. The Goon, which stars Sean William Scott. Oh, don't play the trailer.
Wait a minute. The Goon? Is this the
not the comic book?
Not comic book and not Goonies. It's like a red box. I don't know. I didn't see good red box reviews on it.
It's basically about a guy not content with his job as a bouncer at a local Beantown bar and a bit of an embarrassment. Doug, played by Sean William Scott, dreams of the kind of success enjoyed by minor league hockey goon Ross Rea, played by Lee Schreiber. And he decides to become a hockey player.
Thought it was the life story of Flies.
No. Not Flies, no.
It needs to be.
Yeah. Anyway, next.
That's pretty much the only thing that there is this movie called Coru. I have no idea how to pronounce this. Coriolanus. Coriolanus.
Oh, yeah, I saw that in Redbox, too. Now, that one got good reviews, but I just didn't get it. Because I went to Redbox today, so I didn't get it. No, if anybody wants to know, I got the girl with the dragon tattoo again, and Haywire.
I hear that's pretty good.
Yeah, I hear Haywire is pretty good. So I'm like $1.20, and the girl with the tattoo is really good. So I like that. I'm like, you know what?
The American one or the
the American one.
Okay.
Hey, on another note, Rodney, since we're running out of stuff on that, I guess we can kind of jump over to music, but a funny thing on music,
uh-huh.
Have you guys checked out the new pictures of Erykah Badu? Yes, there are new pictures of Erykah Badu for, I'm assuming, some kind of album or thing she was, doing with this artist, and they have her, kind of... They're not erotic, for all the listeners, they're not erotic pictures. Nothing about these pictures are erotic. Erykah Badu is a good-looking woman, but none of this is erotic.
Right.
The picture of her apparently are covered in something that looks like maybe blood.
Oh, that's always fun.
And she's standing in front of a green screen, so I don't know the background. There's another picture of her sitting in a tub with foot filled with glitter.
Sure.
And for the pervs out there, no disrespect to Jay Electronica or Erykah Badu, but for the pervs, you can kind of see that, despite that Erykah may be maybe early 40s or late 30s, she is still firm and perky.
Firm and perky?
Yeah, she's firm and perky, and we'll leave it at that. She's firm and
perky. Yeah, I found the pictures.
Yeah, she's firm and perky.
I mean, but glitter and blood is erotic.
They're not erotic, dude. I mean, I looked at them. Nothing about,
What? Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Black Adam, what do you say? There's nothing erotic about
it. No, the pictures I'm seeing is pretty much, it just looks like it was shots taken in between. You know, she isn't posing like one. She's like, it looks like she's kind of, you know, having a chuckle. Then there's another one where it does look like she's posing, but she's in front of green screen. But you got a camera in the shot, so it's hard to tell, man, until these pictures are actually put out there, I guess. I mean, is it for a magazine, or what was it for?
It's just for a video? It's supposed to be for, like, another album cover.
Oh, okay.
Because a while back, she got in trouble with another album cover, and she got banned. Let me see which country Erykah Badu was banned in. Give me 1 second. But she was banned in one of the Muslim countries for her album cover, because they were really mad with her. Matter of fact, she's working with this same guy that did that album cover for her, and that's because they got upset because I think she had some Islamic writing, a scripture by Allah, something like that, and it was really hot about it.
Eh, Muslim countries are always banning someone, so what else is there?
Yeah, true. I could do... Yeah. Images. I could be banned. Yeah. Here it is. She was banned in, that was Malaysia. She was banned in. Her performances was banned due to that cover. They didn't like that she had, like, I think it's, they say on here, and I'm just reading off of online, that she had a, like, maybe symbol about Allah, and then they weren't happy, so.
Eh, I don't know what you was, where are we at now? Music, you say?
Yes, yeah, so we're going to talk about some music.
Let's get the old boy, Mr. Banff. Hova.
Yes.
Hova.
Well, it was announced last week that Jay-Z is actually going to oversee the music for Willow, for the Annie remake that is going to star Will Smith's kid, Willow. The writer is actually thrilled about it. They did say that, you know, in case people are freaking out because, you know, they're like, well, they're going to get rid of all the new music. This is a modern day retelling of the classic story. But they are going to, incorporate as many of the original songs as they can. They did say that, yes, Tomorrow is going to make it in there. She said, weirdly, it's going to be in there somehow. But, That's basically what Hov's going to be doing. And the project is produced, I believe, by Will Smith. So,
yeah, I'm not going to see that. Okay.
Well, you know what? That falls under, there's really nothing new under the sun. It's like, okay, we're going to do an Annie remake. And the only reason why they asked Jay-Z is because he did Hard Knock Life. And, well, Willow, I'm not going to bother the kid. Look, she's cute.
Nothing about his head. Anyway.
I have nothing to say about a kid. She's a cute kid.
You know, we're going to file that under no one gives a damn about this remake, because I'm not going to see it.
Well, besides Mr. Bounce and probably myself, we won't go see it, but it'll probably make a lot of money. We won't go see it, but it'll make a lot of money. Although I do like the picture of Jay-Z on here looking like Black Frank Sinatra. With his gold diesel rope chain and his tux, like, really spin. This is the picture you guys gonna use?
That's my boy Ho. He can do that.
But yeah, they that's the plan so far. But yeah, I think they are trying to get this done for next year. So we'll see. You know, it's just, that's just how it is. The other news that I found kind of amusing is that we're back to having beefs in music.
Yes!
And, yep.
Beefs!
Yeah, this is what you call
beefs.
Basically, there's some type of beef between Pusher T and
possibly Drake.
Yeah, possibly Drake.
That's Exodus 23, chapter 23, verse 1, which is really ironic.
Why is that?
It's very ironic. It's gonna sound messed up. I was tripping because I went and looked at the verse. Mm-hmm. And the verse is exactly on what Pusher T apparently is trying to say. And the verse is, people are really nuts nut because this is a Bible verse and we carry on a little bit too much about stuff in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I'm not a tree hugger. I'm not one of those people that's like, oh, well, the Bible's not, no, literal and all this. No, I'm not like that. No, some of this stuff, I'm like, no. The Bible wasn't no inspiration to Shakespeare. I didn't really write that. I do believe that it's from God. And we have tampered with and screwed it up, but for the most part, it's from God. Not enough about that. He basically uses it in its proper context.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, exactly. Like, what the verse basically states is basically saying that you should bear no false witness or false report. And what the rhyme is to me about is he's basically, whoever this rapper is, he doesn't say it's Drake. But he's just basically saying this guy is fake. And he's saying a lot of stuff that isn't true. And, you know, in my opinion, I let you guys have it. I won't say nothing else about it. The coldest verse is his, like, last part of it, where he says, money can't buy you wealth, and if you don't believe me, ask Steve Jobs. And I'm like, that's a cold verse.
Interesting.
That's really cold. I mean, that's really cold. I'm like, wow. Money can't buy you health, ask Steve Jobs. Like, wow. But I don't know if it's about Drake. I'm gonna be honest. There's a lot of innuendos. You know, a dude they have with that verse where the guys, you're signed to a label by a dude is signed to a label. It's under three other guys. So, I don't know.
Yeah, that would definitely be Drake.
Yeah, but besides that, that's the only thing that points to Drake. That little bit. The rest of it, I'll be honest with you, I don't know who it's about.
And you know what? I mean, but you know, this is my thing about, you know, about rap beats. And Mr. Black and I were talking about this earlier, you know. I don't know why Lil Wayne is so butthurt over the fact that Pusha T alluded to someone in his count, that he got to go on Twitter and say, you know, fuck Pusha T and all his fans. It's like, you stupid as hell. You do realize that some Pusha T fans are your fans, so you want to block your money just because you pissed off at this dude that can rap better than you? I mean, why would you do that? You know?
I didn't get that. Then I thought, when you listen to the song, I mean, really, a lot of people trying to find this conspiracy and Illuminati beef, maybe they would have heard it. But anybody else, I'm going to be honest with you, anybody else listen to the song, and if you hadn't told them it was about Drake, I don't think they would have went over their heads. They wouldn't have got it.
Right.
So, I don't know what it's really about. I'm like, and then, you know, with that, because, you know, Wayne's been sensitive before. You know, he got sensitive about the whole Jay-Z thing. And I'm like, dude, that ain't about you. And Baby, he's like, you don't, you know, and, you know, Bounce. Knows a verse about that verse that he got all sensitive about. And I'm like, dude, you know, I heard the verse. I'm like, that's not about you. Like, Wayne, that ain't about you, man. Calm down, you know.
Right, that ain't about you. And the only reason, you know, and when somebody said, hey, that's about, you know, Lil Wayne and Baby, it's like, really? And, you know, you'll go back and listen to it. It's like, okay, I can see where you would say that, but I don't think that's about them. You know,
you're right. Wow. I always meant it was a general. Dudes in general, not them.
Right. Because my thing is, like, why is Lil Wayne so, you know, you're right, he's an extremely sensitive dude. I guess I don't know if he's just, you know, so insecure in his own talent that he feels the need to, you know, if somebody just vaguely says anything that sounds something similar to his situation, he got to speak on it. It's like, dude, sit your ass down, you little ugly gremlin looking bastard.
Well, yeah, I mean, like with this whole Exodus 23:1, it wouldn't have been anything if Wayne hadn't sent out that tweet.
Right.
I dudes is like, well, Wayne sent out this tweet.
He sent out a tweet. Okay.
Fuck Pusha T.
It's like
people left.
It's like, you know,
I'm like Lil Wayne. I'm a little disappointed because you're not doing what you tell people to do when you sponsor Mountain Dew. You know, you right. tell people on the Mountain Dew commercial that, you know, you need to do you. You know, that's my Lil Wayne. You need to do you.
Which that's is really pretty good. Good. That's pretty fucking good.
I know, but you need to do you. And it's really weird because you tell me to do you, but then you want to do you. I got you really need to do me because you're going to do do.
And that sounds like
you
a little.
Do you do me.
That's
see?
Pretty fucking good, dude. I'm impressed by that Lil Wayne impression right now.
I know. Thank you, man. So I'm sitting here and I'm like, okay, man, you on that. And I'm like, whoa. Why do you care? You got the hottest people out. Although Drake has his own issues because he has even dudes coming up in the game with, like, taking pot shots at him and a bunch of everybody now has been jumping out the woodwork on. Mainly kind of Future tried to be nice about it. Stating that he was upset because, you know, Drake did a verse on Tony Montana way back.
Mm-hmm.
And Drake was, and that, not Drake, excuse me, but Future was just stating how he was just a little bit upset because, you know, he had talked to Drake over the phone, and you can catch this on YouTube. It's not me making this crap up. You can catch it on YouTube. And Future is not being a bad guy about it. Future is just basically being honest, stating he was a little disappointed because Future basically is like, Tony Montana is my heart. This is my song. He's like, this is my single, Drake. Are you going to come down on the video? And Drake was kind of like, yeah, I'm going to do the video. But Future's like, I knew he wasn't going to kind of do it. Because people was telling me he wasn't going to do it. And then Drake didn't do it. And then Future was like, I was a little disappointed, but it was kind of expected. And that's just kind of, Future's just like, that's how things go. But he was also kind of like, I wish he had really been on it. And then Future was kind of like, I don't know if I'll work with him again because I could have gotten some other guys to drop verses on there, and Future was kind of saying it, which I kind of agree with him. Could have got some guys right. to drop verses on it, would have been hotter, and they would have been in the video.
Right.
And he took that as a diss with Drake not being in the video.
Man, people being too sensitive.
Yeah, rappers are really too sensitive. These guys is really too sensitive. I'm like, what happened to the days when, like, when I was a kid, I didn't know, first of all, I didn't know what rappers really look like. because there weren't no videos out back then. I'm not that fucking old.
This
I'm only 36, and in about 2 more hours, I'll be up to like 36. But when I grew up, they had 12-inch albums out, and you didn't know shit about your singer, except for that album cover, and if you was lucky enough for them to come out with a video on, like, Video Soul and Rap City.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean old Rap City with the fucking mayor. Yeah. Yeah. With the old 30-year-old dude with the waves, he used to do his fucking arm like he was crippled. That guy. Yeah.
Right.
So, you know, with him. So, I didn't know much about art, so I didn't know what they looked like. I didn't know how they sound. And, you know, artists used to just do stuff together, and it wasn't a big deal. Like, well, yeah, I did a track with him, and he ain't going to be in the video. He couldn't make it. It's all right. You know, like, yeah. What, there's like, a video, there's a matter of fact, with, with a really good rap group, which is Click Certified, Foreign Exchange,
mm-hmm.
and our boy Fonte, Tigolo, where Evidence dropped the verse. Evidence couldn't make the video. So guess what they did? One reason why they say Evidence can't make the video, Tigolo's mama does Evidence's book, does Evidence's verse.
Hilarious.
Well, you know, they're
being
too
sensitive
right now.
A little bit. Yeah. Yeah, but there you go. And, of course, Wayne dropped, put out a single you'll have to find called, or like a track called Ghoulish out there. You may be able to find it, Google it, and figure it out. But supposedly he's got a verse on there. The main criticism, of course, with a Lil Wayne diss is the fact that whereas Pusha T kind of said his point, and like y'all said, it may be about him, it could be about Drake or whatever, you kind of got the clue But with Wayne, he's all over the place, and he's just blamed that he's, you know, coming after Pusha T or whatever. But you know, that's out there.
I'm looking at that right now, and he's just being really blatant. I don't know Lil Wayne, none of these guys personally, but I would give Lil Wayne a piece of advice. He won't ever hit his broadcast. Dude, you don't really want to push your teeth. You really don't right. want to. At least not in the rap arena. I don't know about those other arenas and the gangster stuff you guys do or don't do. You don't want to rap against this guy. Don't get into a diss war. Push your teeth. Just let this slide and do Lil Wayne.
Yeah.
Right.
And, you know, people buy your stuff outright anyway. You
right.
know.
Exactly. You know, exactly. I agree with Jet Stream over there. You don't really, Wayne, and I hope you do hear this one day, Wayne. You don't want to rap war with this dude, man, because Wayne, you've never been good, Wayne. Ever. Ever. And all these people that's buying your records, blowing your head up, they're fucking lying to you. I don't give a damn how many records you sell, you will suck forever. I mean, hell, look at Rihanna. She sells millions of records. Her ass can't sing shit. Yeah. So, I mean, sorry, Wayne. The only thing you got going for you is a bunch of tattoos and women's pants. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, which doesn't help too much anymore now because, everybody has that.
Now. Yeah, everybody has a bunch of tattoos.
Special. Is there a sale on tattoos now?
I know, right? Dude, I mean, I just saw a picture of Roscoe Dash, and he is, like, covered in tattoos, and this, like, and I'm like, dude, when the hell did that happen?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that used to be expensive. It used to be, like, $200 to get a tat, and I'm like, shit.
Right. You know, not everybody. I mean, regular niggas in the street running around with shirts.
The epidemic is crazy. Like with the girls up here with me, here at Click Nation, Atlanta, it's wild because all the girls have more tats than the guys. So they have a tattoo from their head, wrapping around their side down to their thighs. That's the new thing. Oh. Or they have stuff across the abdomen. I mean, big tattoos.
Good grief.
Yeah, they're going to be some ugly things. I mean, sponge bath time is going to be fucked up.
Like, what is this?
Yeah, it's going to be like, well, it was supposed to be like flowers and stars and a gun.
All to the gun.
Yeah, you know, now that shit look like a landfill.
You know what I'm saying? Like I said, now she got juicy across her stomach. When she get older, they're going to be juicy.
That shit is gonna be juice. Why you got juice tattooed on you? It's juicy. It look like juice.
Oh, the wire's folded up under my stomach. Hold on.
Oh, never mind. All right. Well, our next story that we have is that Kanye is unveiling music for his Cruel Summer, I guess, mini film at the Cannes Film Festival. It's an art film. He's got a compilation coming out with the Good, his Good label. The film stars Kid Cudi as a car thief that falls for a blind woman. And apparently it's something like the people that watch the movie at Cannes, it's like they're showing seven different storylines on different screens, and they all connect to the one screen. Very artsy type of movie. We may not see this movie for a while because the next time it will air is sometime in November in another country at a very tall building, I believe, in India. So there you go. Kanye's doing his thing in movies.
You know, I have to give Kanye's props. Good old Kanye. Only Kanye is like, he needs to write a book on Master of Grandstanding. Only Kanye can go to the Cannes Festival, not fill out registration, not go through the proper channels.
Right.
And still pretty much upstage everybody else. You go, Kanye.
Let me put it to you like this. for people who, all our viewers who don't know, you should know who the Cannes Film Festival is. This very, very, the most prestigious film festival in the world. And you have to go through hell and high water and an act of God to get your movie shown at the Cannes Film Festival. You know, especially if you're independent. How the hell Kanye West, who's never done a film ever in his life.
Wait, the music video he did a while back for My Dark Beautiful Fantasies was a...
That is a video.
That was supposed to be like a movie.
I don't give a damn.
I know.
Kanye posted. How the hell is Kanye get his art film into the damn Cannes Film Festival? I just don't understand. It's like, wow. You know, it's like you said, Kanye is the master of grandstanding. I don't know how he does it, but he is amazing.
But not only did he get the can, but here's the thing about it. I mean, here's the thing that's killing a lot of people. Mainly the white people. Not only is he there, but he's put this joint on 7 screens. And the name of this thing we're talking about is called Cruel Summer. And he has diverted people from the Cannes Festival.
Right. Ain't nobody else going to
joint.
To go see the Kanye West movie.
To see the Kanye West joint. So you have to commend him. You can call him an asshole. You can call him a lot of stuff. Ain't call him stupid. But you can call him a lot of stuff.
I'm impressed. Kanye impresses me. Every day, like every year, Kanye does something, and it's like, wow, I just don't even know how he does it.
I mean,
it's amazing. Kanye is his own little world now.
Well, you know, if I've ever said this on to all our viewers, I'm Leroy Jetstream, and I will let a lot of our viewers know that some black people are magical, like leprechauns.
Some are, ladies and gentlemen.
And Kanye is a magical black person.
Yes,
don't
he
believe.
Is.
Don't believe Taylor Swift.
And there are very, very few magical Negroes in the music
very
industry.
Few of
very,
them.
Very few. Very, very few left alive. Very, very few. You know. And
any white person, if you're out there, try and get close to Kanye and rub him and touch him,
right?
As much as you can. If you don't believe me, we have Taylor Swift, Amber Rose, Kim Kardashian right now.
Kim Kardashian.
He idolized her.
Wiz Khalifa via Amber Rose.
Yeah, you ever see? You see how his magic just spreads?
It spreads, damn it.
All right. That's pretty much our last, you know, music story. I mean, there's not really a whole much going on, you know, especially with music, unless stuff is being released.
I have something on music. For all the ground people here in Atlanta, and if you like real hip-hop, and even if you don't, you want to listen to some real hip-hop, we have Killer Mike.
Killer Mike.
Oh, yeah.
Featured by LP does a production, and it's going to be on like Adult Swim. And you can catch it. It has a little cover with a little painting of Killer Mike, but it is very very hardcore hip hop Killer Mike style. So if you're not used to Killer Mike, it's hard, like a Killer Mike on the whole world hard. We're really harder than that.
Right.
So if you want to hear like some real hip hop stuff, and you're tired of, you know, I'm not gonna name people you're tired of because I don't want you to give them no money, but you know who you're tired of.
You know you're tired of. You know you're tired of Lil Wayne.
You know you're tired of hearing them on the radio. Spin magazine couple. I'm like, it's the same.
You know what I'm saying? We're gonna say it. I'm gonna say it. You're tired of Waka Flocka. You're tired of him. You know you is. You know you are. Oh,
not, dude. You know what I am upset about? Moscato owes Waka Flocka Flame some money. Because this Negro single-handedly made a fucking $2, $3 drink. Yeah, I said a fucking, because that's how bad this shit is. Made a $2, $3 drink. Bottle of wine. You used to get like the bargain thing from Kroger. The bargain buggy. That bargain buggy is fine. Sitting out there, that you walk by. And you don't want people to know you're looking at it like, ooh, what they got in there? And then you look around. Like, anybody see me look at it? No, I'm going to walk by this shit. Nah, I got money.
That's a ripple.
Yeah, he single-handedly turned this into like $5 wine now. Like, it's $5. New editions.
That shit ain't new, dude. Robert's been doing that shit for years. Look at you got Cristal. Nobody was drinking that shit till a rapper said some shit about it. That a damn Nouveau. I remember seeing Nouveau at the package store, and that shit was like.
Well, you have Nouveau, Grey Goose. the best. I'm trying to think of a word for it. The best Phoenix.
Right.
Is Diddy with Ciroc.
Right.
Nasty shit. I mean, I'm gonna do the minute Ciroc was nasty.
Right.
It was below Smirnoff.
Well,
and that's basically your entry level.
Way below Smirnoff.
It was below Smirnoff, right above Taka. That's how bad Ciroc is, ladies and gentlemen.
Nah, dude. I think it was like really below the sky.
Damn.
So it was with no Skybaka before Diddy got a hold of it.
Right. So, that shit ain't new. But anywho, speaking of people on magazines or people in magazines, ladies and gentlemen, go pick up your latest issue of GQ Magazine. The mighty D'Angelo is in there giving an interview, you know. And very, very deep, very in-depth interview. Talked about, you know, the reason why he ended up getting fat. You know, and how he came back and all that good old stuff. This is very, 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 very good.
And also, if you have to, like, get your D'Angelo fix, go ahead and go over to OK Player. And we have some posts. D'Angelo overseas and some wonderful stuff.
Wonderful stuff, man.
If you need some real hip hop, go over to OK Player. They're not giving us any money. They need to.
Send me some music.
Leroy Jetstream, Mr. Bam, Mr. Black Adam, music. OK Player, now. That's all I'm saying.
Chop.
Chop now.
Not tomorrow, now. I know we don't have no credentials. You know, me and Questlove was real cool because I got 5 of the Roots albums. So I figured me and Quest
was pretty cool. Yeah.
And if you haven't gotten that Undone, awesome album, also go ahead and get the app. Because the app will have you believing. Spoiler alert, you need to be on time. This has been out since December. Spoiler alert will have you believing the guy that this album is about was real. That's just how good the actors are. You can seriously believe this guy was a real person. Mm-hmm. But he wasn't, so sorry. But get in anyway.
It's good shit. You know.
Alright. Shoot, anything else in music then?
Let's see. I'm looking on a spin. Madonna's talking about Lady Gaga.
Who gives a fuck?
Yeah.
We have some hip hop news I know about. Anybody, for all the music heads out there, Patti Smith is still out there doing her thing. So, yay for Patti Smith. Way back out in the day.
Way back in the day.
And she's an original and she does her own shit. And another crew that's out, and you know, this is really funny because Leroy Jetstream is black. But a crew out, Sleigh Bells, is awesome. And I said, awesome. And I'm a black American. I said, awesome.
Wow.
Sleigh Bells is cool. So you get a chance to catch Sleigh Bells. And I guess Mr. Black Adam, we can go to TV now.
Oh, yeah. There was, like, one new pickup that I really thought is something that I've been wanting to see, especially since Playmakers. HBO has brought a pitch for an hour-long dramedy about the life of an NBA team. Backstage, the sex, the money, all that stuff that goes on behind the scenes. it's something that, you know, if you ever saw Playmakers that was on ESPN, this was something.
Yeah, which
was
awesome.
Oh, yeah. Definitely, you know, you can get that crap cheap on DVD now, so you can get right. the complete series. It was only one season, but it was awesome.
I would like to see more of that on Black Adam. I like to see more stuff like that with actors and writers and no more basketball housewives or football wives or any fucking wife or somebody that makes a lot of money. No.
Right. Who aren't really wives.
Shows with people that write. Who people
right, who aren't really wives, but are more like jump-offs.
Yeah.
Right, yeah, jump-offs. Yep, thank you, Mr. Bounce. Hit it right on it, jump-offs. Let's go back to an old tradition of television, of hiring these people who went to school or take time out of their day to write shit.
Right. Please.
For entertainment. Because a lot of people do that, and these reality shows are not good. It's not good writing, so I want most reality shows to be gone. I'm like, let's get them off. Let's go back to sitcoms. I'm starving for some track laughter. Shit.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, we'll see that. We've got more comedies coming our way. But what we will do, I mean, we've pretty much spanned the globe. Well, we do want to mention in sports, it's the NBA Conference Finals. The Spurs have one game up on the Thunder as we speak. They're playing the Spurs. What was that?
Spurs, nigga.
Yeah. Wow. Pretty much.
I'm sorry. Leroy Jetstream will never say the word nigga. Unless you are a nigga. And Black Adam is not a nigga. He's a black American. My bad.
Right.
But yeah.
I understand will say the word nigga all the time because that's what the fuck I do.
Yeah, nigga. And ladies and gentlemen, if you guys ever met Mr. Banff, that's why his teeth are so white.
Right. And right now the Spurs are up by 11 on the Thunder in game 2. And so far the Heat have a game up lead on the Boston Celtics, so we'll see. Hopefully, thinking the Heat Spurs in the NBA Finals.
Ooh, it's all Spurs. I'm going all Spurs. I just want to upset LeBron.
I really don't want the Heat to make it to the finals because if they lose, I will have to hear that shit from my brother for a fucking year. And I don't want to hear that shit. So it's like Heat, LeBron, Wade, yo, if y'all make it to the damn finals, man, please win. Cause,
dude, you stuck. Because when they win, you're going to have to hear. And when they lose, you got to hear.
He'll be a lot healthier person if they win, and it'll be a lot less stressful on me because his ass won't be like, you know, trying to kill itself.
Man, we can't have that, man.
Right.
Well, all right, guys. I think we've pretty much killed it for the week.
Killed it. Killed it dead.
All right.
Hey.
With that said. I thank you for letting us have fun with you tonight. Hopefully you got entertained while we ranted and raved about everything in entertainment. For the Click Nation, I'm the Adam Black.
I am Mr. Bounce.
Yeah, and I am Leroy Jetstream.
All right, follow us at The Click Nation on Twitter, theclicknation.com on the World Wide Web, and if you want to email us, email the show, you can do that at theclicknation@gmail.com. Please give.
And you can also tweet me at Leroy Jetstream. If you just disagree with me with anything I said, I don't give a fuck. And Mr. Bounce doesn't give a fuck what you said about him and his Black Adam. But you can still send it to us.
Yeah,
you can still send it to us.
We don't give a fuck. We can still
give a fuck the thing. So, you know, if you disagree with me, you're wrong. But, you know, hey.
Well, you live in America. You have that right.
You have that right to disagree.
Yeah.
You had it right, disagree, but you still wrong, bitch.
But anyway, this is the Click Nation, and you guys have a week.